Our scripture reading this morning comes out of Psalms 119, verses 25 through 32. I am laid low in the dust, preserving my life according to your word. I give an account of my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, and you have broadened my understanding. This is the word of the Lord for us.
Well, you did it. You made it through the holiday season. We all know that's a challenge, and as much as I encouraged each of us to get to the heart of Christmas, which is of joy and peace, the majority of people, yes, including you, as I talked to you, confessed it was a stressful time. It was a time filled with busyness and difficulty. So I'm just mindful of that this morning, just how the last, 6 weeks or so have just left many of us weary, and maybe even the kind of weariness that a simple Sunday afternoon nap can't fix. And I don't think it's because we don't want to have energy and excitement and enthusiasm for the new year. I see that as well. It's like, it's a fresh start, something new. It's 2026. Who would have thunk it? So I see that energy and that desire that's there for the new year, you know, like we talked about, I'm going to tackle those projects this year. I'm going to finally get around to doing those things. I'm going to go after these goals that I've set for myself. But we're tired. We're weary. And even as we think about that goal that we've set for ourselves and how far we are from it, it makes us even more weary. A weariness where it wants to steal that motivation. Like a weariness where our patience just seems extremely thin. Even the good things in our life start to feel like a heavy blanket. So, and friends, I mean, even when you're still doing the right things, you want to do the right things, you are doing the right things, but your heart feels worn down and heavy. You're moving, but you just feel like you're dragging along inch by inch. The reason I want to name that this morning is not because I want to be a drag. It's because I see that in the text for this morning. God's timing is perfect. I see that in the psalm we're going to study together, this passage in Psalm 119. And I have this, I guess it's a warning. I guess it's equal parts encouragement and a word from the Lord. Like, what do you do when you're feeling weary? I guess is the question. What do we do? Where are the places we go, whether physically or mentally and emotionally, when we have that sort of tiredness, that sort of weariness? Because I think so often we look for relief, even like quick relief. We look for a break or a distraction. We look for a change of pace. And sometimes those things can be helpful. They can be good. But I think what we're going to see this morning as we look at this passage from Psalm 119, it reminds us weariness isn't just simply like a scheduling problem. Oh, I failed to do some, you know, pampering, some self-care, some downtime, some me time. It's not a scheduling problem, it's a spiritual problem. It's about a heart posture and an attitude toward the Lord, toward life, toward where we are, the position that we're in right now. So I just have this encouragement for us as we begin this morning, like when you're in that place of feeling weary, of feeling discouraged or pressed low, don't just look for an escape. Go to God's word. Go to the scriptures. That's what this entire psalm is about. The beauty, the power of the Bible, of the words of life found in the scripture. What's striking, and I hope you have a Bible with you and in front of you. If not, go ahead and open it up. Psalm 119. This is the passage Renee read for us, starting in verse 25. What's striking is how much movement there is, or we could say a progression. It begins, so verse 25, the psalmist begins, laid low in the dust. And we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Laid low in the dust. Immobile, unmoving. And then he asks God for direction. And by the end, verse 32, he's running in obedience. So we go from I'm lying down incapacitated to I am now at a full sprint as fast as I can go. And I just want to say, like, that's what God's word does in our lives. It brings that motivation, not that I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I know I need to do the right thing. But an inspiration that comes from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just comfort us right where we are. It does that. It does comfort us. But it trains us, to use biblical language, trains us to live differently. That's what I'd like to talk about this morning as we study this psalm together. So let me introduce myself. My name is John Reisner. I serve as lead pastor, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us today. I'm praying that as you study God's word, he brings you closer to his heart. We're doing a four-part sermon series in Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in all of the Bible. It is a beautiful acrostic, and we talked about that last Sunday a little bit, right? Basically, it goes through the entirety of the Hebrew alphabet. So 22 letters. Most English translations actually show the Hebrew letter associated with an eight-verse stanza. And so it's God's direction and guidance and help for us in all areas of life, A to Z. So it's beautiful. And so this morning it's the letter Dalet. It's the fourth stanza, eight verses beginning with this particular Hebrew letter. And we see this good news from this particular passage that we'll explore together as we go through God's word today. It lifts us. God's word lifts us when we're weary. It leads us when we need direction. And it launches us into his ways. So that's where we'll be together this morning. So open your Bibles. Hopefully you're already there. Let's read together again, starting in verse 25. And I'm reading from the NIV. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I gave an account of my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. We'll stop there. So we really have a raw honesty that is not unusual for the Psalms. This cry of the heart, I'm laid low in the dust. The dust, of course, is a place of weakness and despair, of grief, even mortality, especially as you look at the original language this was written in, from dust we came, from dust we shall return. So it's a recognition of our own mortality. And you've been there before. When you feel flattened, emotionally, spiritually, maybe even physically. So this is a cry of desperation, this passage begins with. And then notice what the request is there, verse 25. So I'm laid low in the dust, preserve my life according to your word. We see that phrase, by the way, according to your word, twice in this stanza. Not according to circumstances, not according to my personal preferences, agenda, and plan, not according to the comfort or relief that I desire, according to your word, according to the words of life. Why? Again, I mentioned this a moment ago, but because God's word lifts us when we're weary. As I outlined this passage That's what I see in verses 25 through 28, which we read together. That God's word lifts us when we're weary. So you walk through challenge and difficulty, and this room is full of testimonies where you have faced hardship and difficulty and challenge, and the scriptures put hope in your heart. You say, I don't know what I would do if it were not for the Psalms, because they got me through this season of my life. I also want to say here, like, don't miss what's being modeled for us as we study this passage. We're studying the text, we're studying the teaching that's there, but don't miss what's being modeled for us by the author. And again, this is not specifically attributed to King David. Many scholars speculate that he wrote it, but it doesn't matter if it was David or someone else. What's being modeled here for us is we can take anything and everything to the Lord. So don't get this wrong thinking that you got to get it all cleaned up, you got to get it all polished and beautiful and just right, and then you can go into God's presence. No, 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 no. You can take before him your fear, your anger, your ugliness, your disheartenment, your confusion, your fatigue. Like, God can handle it. And I think sometimes we forget that, and we think, I need to better myself, and then I'll do what's right, and then I'll get on track with God. And it's like, no, God calls you to come as you are. He invites you. I mean, he very specifically says, come to me, all you who are what? The words of our Lord Jesus. Not come to me, all you who have already figured it out and cleaned yourselves up. He says, come to me, all you who are weary. All you who are weary and heavy laden, he says, I will give you rest. That's being modeled for us in this psalm, if not explicitly taught, that we can bring it all to the Lord. Weariness does not disqualify you from coming to the Lord. Even as we talked this morning and in this series about the beauty and the power of God's word and spending time in God's presence through his word, it doesn't disqualify you from walking with the Lord, from spending time in his word. In fact, it might just be a prerequisite for it that you're weary and you hear that invitation from the Lord Jesus. In her poem, Footprints in the Sand, and you're probably familiar with this, Mary Stevenson writes, one night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times, there was one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. And so I said to the Lord, you promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there have been only one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you the most, have you not been there for me? And the Lord replied, the times when you have seen only one set of footprints is when I carried you. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. That's God's heart for you and I. It's not that we would never get frustrated or discouraged or weary. It's that in our weariness, we would allow him to carry us. And as we recognize that, just as the author of the poem recognized, see, again, there we had it modeled for us. Take that to the Lord. Take that anger to the Lord. Hey, why did you abandon me? And the Lord reveals, I didn't abandon you. I was carrying you. It turns to gratitude for what he's done. God's word and God's heart, it isn't to shame us when we're tired and weary or discouraged. It doesn't just want to rush us past the grief and all the emotions that life brings. It meets us right there in it. That's what we've just celebrated through the Christmas season, is that inbreaking of the reign of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation. He is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. So in Isaiah chapter 40, I mentioned verse 11, where it talks about the Lord is a shepherd and he carries his sheep. If we go down a few verses, very familiar verses 30 and 31, it says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So using the same language we're going to see in verse 32 of Psalm 119, of running, of a renewed energy that doesn't come just from a New Year's resolution, but it comes from a life empowered by, enfolded in, the Lord himself. So maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, yeah, I'm not soaring like an eagle right now. I'm probably more like an earthworm just inching along in the dirt. How do I get some of that renewal? How do I become that eagle soaring in the sky? Well, again, let's go back to Psalm 119. We're looking at verses 25 through 28. That's where we saw in verse 28, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. He's laid low in the dust, and he goes to the one true, right, perfect source to go to, Almighty God, and says, strengthen me according to your word. So is it possible that the greatest source of refreshment and strength, the greatest cure for the weariness and the tiredness that you are facing, the thing that will help to carry you, establish you, strengthen you, has been right in front of you all along? Your Bible. And as we talked about last Sunday, this bold declaration of, I will not neglect your word. And how that's humbling, because we've all neglected God's word. And so again, the heart behind this is not to shame us or guilt trip us. It's to say, do you hear the invitation from the Lord that says, you're weary, come to me. You're tired, come to my word. Ask me to strengthen you, and I will come through. Because God's word, it comforts us, and again, it teaches us God's way of living. So, like, for those of you who've ever played sports, as an example, you know that you had a coach who wanted to teach you the right way to do it, right? Regardless of what the sport was, like, hey, here's how you hold a bat. Here is how you line up to take the free throw. Here's how we run our offense. Like, in the same way, God wants to train us. He wants to teach us his ways. Don't listen to what the world is telling you about how you get where you want to go. Follow me. Follow my path. Follow my plan. By the way, did you hear about the apartment building that was on fire? There was a woman in the window, and she's screaming out for help, and just so happens that a man comes along, and he says, hey, jump, I'll catch you. Just do it. And she's just a little hesitant to do that. And he says, I will catch you. I am a professional football player. You can do it. She's like, I don't, really? Well, who do you play for? And he says, I play for the Cleveland Browns. Come on, you can do it. Just jump. Hurry up. The fire's going to get you. You play, she shrugs her shoulders like, I think I'll take my chances with the fire. As we look at the Bible, my friends, the Bibles that are in your home, the Bibles that are on your devices, it's not just this list of don't do this and don't do that. And in the places where it is, don't do this and don't do that, that's God's loving heart serving as a guardrail, saying, I want to keep you from harm and destruction and trauma. It trains us. It shapes and molds us to be the people that God wants us to be. So if I could implore us with something this morning, this good news, that God's word lifts us when we're weary. It trains us in right living. It trains us in paths of righteousness. It trains us in paths of purity. We could put it this way, and this is the second point this morning as we get into the next few verses, that God's word leads us when we need direction. It leads us. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, I think weariness and tiredness, this state of being, can make us vulnerable. It can lead to us making bad decisions, being more susceptible to temptation, believing lies. I think when we're tired, we more easily believe lies, whether it's a lie about ourselves or a lie about our circumstances or a lie about God himself. So we need direction. I need direction. I need help. I need guidance. And I believe you do too. And that is exactly what God's word provides. So let's continue studying through the Psalm. We're in Psalm 119. We're at verse 29. The psalmist writes, "Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws." God's word lifts the weary, it leads the confused. It reveals truth when everything else seems unclear. And I think this is really where the gospel shines. That we, who are very limited in our own thinking and our ability to live righteous lives, we who face times where we are absolutely confounded and perplexed and confused, we are desperate, we are lost. And God's word, the realities of what God has done through sending his son Jesus, it doesn't just give us principles. God has given us a person in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Heavenly Father except through me." So, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, steps into our confusion and he says, "Follow me." He steps into our weariness and says, "Come to me. I will give you rest." And every page of Scripture, whether Old Testament, New Testament, whispers his name, points to the Lord Jesus. Even in the Old Testament, even in acrostic Hebrew poetry, the Scriptures consistently point us to Jesus. Because in our state of sin, we need a Savior. And that's just who Jesus is. That's when Mary was told, "You're going to have a son. Here's who he's going to be. Give him the name Jesus." Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. We need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. And again, in our confusion, he's our guide. And in our weakness, he's our strength. In fact, Colossians 2:3 says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What that means is when we cry out for direction, God doesn't just give us vague advice. He gives us himself. He has given us the Lord Jesus. God's word leads us over and over and over and over and over again. God's word leads us to Jesus. And following Jesus is the truest path that there is. The Lord does not leave us there languishing in the dirt that we see the psalmist in verse 25. He lifts us, he leads us, and then finally, he launches us. God's word launches us into his ways. So I say it this way, the greatest adventure in life is following Jesus. Like saying yes to his plan, his path, his purpose for your life. You don't know where he will lead you. You just know he's got it planned out, that he has that purpose for you. You don't know what you're going to encounter along the way. But what you know is he will be with you through it all. So let's look at the final verses. We're in Psalm 119, verses 31 and 32. "I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. And here it is, I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. So again, I just love this progression where it goes from laid low in the dust to running in obedience to the Lord. It's just exploding with energy, running in the path of God's command. So it's no longer just survival. Like, I don't even know how I'm going to get through this day. It's joy-filled obedience. This relational life with the Lord. Running, not dragging. Desire, not duty. In fact, I actually like the way the 1984 NIV words this verse. The very last part of the last verse in this passage, before the updated NIV, said, for you have set my heart free, which is a good translation. For you have set my heart free. So the updated one is the, you have broadened my understanding. For you have set my heart free. God's word doesn't just tell us what to do. It enlarges our hearts so we want to do things God's way. It creates this attitude and this position before the Lord that says, I want to go your way. Teach me. And you hear that throughout the entire psalm, this heart cry of Lord, teach me, Lord, guide me, Lord, instruct me. And if we have the perspective that says, oh, if we're obedient to someone else, then that's enslavement, then we don't understand the heart of God. Because obedience to the Lord is freedom. That is freedom, friends. It is obedience to, it is walking in the ways of God. It reminds me, of course, of Jesus' teaching in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, where he says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And Jesus says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not, then I have enslaved you forever, which is a more accurate, especially in the ancient Near East, they would have understood the gods, lowercase g, to be that way. Just looking for the enslavement of people to serve them and to meet their needs and desires. And the Lord says, when you're running with me, when you're walking in my ways, that is true freedom. That is true life. So I want us to hear this clearly this morning, that God's commands, God's laws, God's word, it doesn't restrict our lives. It actually releases us into a life of true freedom. So as we talk about being trained by God's word this morning, that's really the goal. It's not just simply, I did what is right, because you've done that and I've done that. And we certainly know other people who that's kind of their mode of operating. Like, they do what's right, the outward behavior might be correct, but they've got a rotten attitude. We've done the right thing on the outside while being sinful on the inside. And that's not what the Lord is after. The Lord is after hearts that are fully devoted to and committed to him, grateful for what he has done for us. And friends, praise God for what he has done for us through sending his son Jesus, who lived a perfect and blameless life, who then went to the cross, willingly laid down his life, shed his innocent blood, so that our sins are atoned for. We can have forgiveness. We can be redeemed by him. The scripture says, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price, that we belong to Jesus. So it's only because of Jesus that we have this hope that we can be forgiven. And Jesus then empowers us. He leads us in this path that gives honor and glory to God, that leads to flourishing for us, right? He launches us in his ways, which are the best ways. So it was when Jesus went to the cross, he took our sins, our failures, those moments where we were so weary and tired and discouraged, and we went to the wrong source. He nailed it to the cross. And he imparts to us in this divine exchange his righteousness. And our part is to believe, according to John chapter 6. To believe. So praise God for what he has done. Praise God for his word that lifts us and leads us and, yes, even launches us into the ways of God. Titus 2, 11 and 12 say it this way, that the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. That's good for you and I. That's what God wants for us. He wants to teach us of his ways. He wants to propel us in his paths. So Psalm 119 shows very clearly that God meets us in real life when we're weary, when we're confused, when we're without direction. So the call today is not for perfection. Don't hear that. It's direction. So wherever you find yourself this morning, you might be tired, you might be uncertain, you might be ready for your next step. Cling to the Word of God. Meditate on it. We'll talk about that in a week or two. Read it, sing it, memorize it, pray it. Walk in it. Reflect on it. Open it day and night. Because God will not mislead you. He'll lead you in just the right path. He's going to train you. He's going to guide you. And when necessary, he will carry you. Let's pray. Lord God, how thankful we are today for your word. And we thank you that even in the moments where we are laid low in the dust, that we can cry out to you asking for your strength and your help. And you hear us and you care for us. That you pick us up, dust us off, and show us the right way, Lord. That we can then run in freedom with you and toward you and for you. So, Lord, I pray for that today. Not a determination to do the right thing, Lord, we've operated that way for far too long, but a simple trust in you. Lord, would you give us ears to hear what you're saying? Would you give us hearts that long to walk in obedience to you? And in all of it, Lord, that we would experience that beautiful freedom that only comes from Christ, because he has set us free from the bondage of sin and death and Satan and hell. Because Jesus is stronger. Because we are more than overcomers as we walk in his ways and as we call out to him in faith, covered by his shed blood, forgiven and redeemed. And so, Lord, in all these things, how we thank you for what you've done and how we need you for direction for tomorrow. Lord, you've been so good to us. We pray that you would continue to lead us and guide us in your paths, and that it would be for your glory, Lord. We thank you for your endless love for us. Lord, we love you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.